Lord Jesus, your grace calls us to follow you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Well, it is a great day to be at Bread of Life. Haven't said that for a while, so not that we haven't been great days. That's just, you know, what Father Harry always used to say, so don't misunderstand that. It's a glorious day of Bread of Life. Any day we're here worshiping God is a great day, right? Well, today it's a great day for all of those reasons, but also because I've been promising this series of small teachings called the Elements of the Mass. And I want to start off our message today with just that and kind of explain to you what's going on, because you've already seen some changes in what we've projected on the wall for you. The words haven't changed, but the slides have changed. And what I want to do is introduce this to you today. And of course, we'll have this online, and you can listen to it again. And if there's somebody that's not here that you think really needs to hear this, give them a call. Tell them that, as usual, the homily was fantastic, and they have to listen to it. And you can certainly, and you can get copies of it too. So for a small fee, I'd be very happy. No. Always free on the internet at bolcec.org. You can listen to us all the time. But this series is going to start, and it's based on a small little book that I came across. There's a talk show on Christian radio stations by a fellow named Gus Lloyd. And Gus Lloyd is a layperson who is a Roman Catholic, and he has written, actually, this is one of three books in a series, and it's called A Minute in the Church, the Mass. 1 minute explanations about the Catholic Mass. This will apply to us for about 90% of what's in here, because obviously what we do is very liturgical, very sacramental in nature. And these are really good teachings. And what we're going to have to do is look at some of the individual teachings and then apply the Charismatic Episcopal Church to it, because we're not the Roman Catholic Church. We have some very significant differences. But by and large, this is very good. And that's with almost anything you read in Christian, any of the Christian resources. Very few of them are published by CEC people. So we always have to put our own lens and understanding on that. But this is called A Minute in the Church, the Mass, 1 minute explanations about the Catholic Mass. And the reason they're 1 minute long is because the guy's a radio talk show host. He did these 60-second spots on Christian radio to explain the way that the Catholic Church worships. And it's one of the reasons why it's so very applicable to us, is because we are, that's our sacramental stream. That's our Catholic stream, where charismatic, evangelical, and sacramental all in one place. Well, this is our sacramental stream. So we're going to bring the charismatic and the evangelical to all of this. But these are very good teachings. Now, I've made or I've purchased a bunch of these, and I've got them available for you. So if you want to take one home, you're welcome to do that. And I paid $5 a piece for them. If you can't handle the $5, take it anyway. But if you can help me offset the cost of those, that's fine. I'll make them available after we're done today. But I want to, and you'll see, you can read the whole thing. But what you'll, I'm going to skip around and pick different things from 1 week to the next. And what I plan to do is do this 60-second spot, if you will. Is that right? A spot? Yeah. My radio experts here. 60-second spot. And then we're still going to look at the Acts of the Apostles, because we want to do that through the Easter season. We are looking at just what we saw today, the appearance of Jesus to the apostles, and him, the scene with the fish, and Jesus, breaking bread with them again. And because one of the things that we want to be is an Acts church. We want to you know, be living that out and seeing that come to fruition from this place. So we're still going to do Acts of the Apostles, but today's a little bit longer as I set this up for you, but I just want to let you know where this is coming from and why we're doing it. And what you have seen in the slides, we'll get to in just a second, the differences that you've already seen as we do the different PowerPoints. But what I want to welcome you to today is the service. But I also want to welcome you to the Holy Eucharist. I'd like to welcome you to the liturgy or to worship. And I'm glad you're here for the Lord's Supper or the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass or simply the Mass. You can call it any one of those things and you are correct. We typically, in our evangelical stream, our evangelical history, we call it the service. Some of our Pentecostal brothers and sisters might call it the worship. All of these things are correct, and we see all of those. Our Lutheran and Episcopalian friends would call it the Holy Eucharist. Or sometimes you hear the Great Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving is the translation of Eucharist. So the bottom line, all of these things are correct. But what's happened particularly in our culture today, and as we have in some places a very Protestant church that has a very negative view of Catholic things, when they hear the word Mass, they immediately dismiss it. That it's too Catholic. Or, you know, we worship. Catholics go to Mass. Oh, well, guess what? We're talking about the same thing. The word Mass simply comes from the Latin word Missa. Now, most people think Mass is defined as a whole bunch of people, and that's why they have it. No, it comes from the understanding that it is from this place of worship that we are sent forth. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. It's a verb, it's to do. It's something we have to go forth and do. And we are sent forth from our place of worship. We are apostles. We are messengers. We are sent forth. That's our great commission. Go forth into the world and proclaim the message of Jesus, teaching all nations, baptizing. Matthew 28, you know, that's what we do. And so that's what that word means. Well, it is our bounden duty and service to worship God. God's given us a job. And we are to worship Him. So we perform that service, if you will, a very poor way of understanding it. And we do it with thanks. We do it with Eucharist. And we worship God. And we participate in the Lord's Supper. All of those things together. The other thing I need to tell you is all of these slides will be available on our website as a file that you can just pull up. And I'm actually going to have printed copies here so that if you're listening to this, you can also follow along with it. Like other teaching series that we have, you can listen and follow along with it. A cheat sheet. So the bottom line is all of these things are correct. And they all have biblical roots and biblical meaning. And so there isn't anything wrong with saying one or the other. So if somebody calls it the service, that's fine. If somebody calls it the Mass, that's fine. If somebody says, I'm going to Eucharist, most people out in the world today look at you like, yeah, what does that mean? But it's all good. Okay? It's all okay. And that's where that comes from. So there's your first one. And you'll see that right at the beginning of that booklet if you were to get the Gus Lloyd book. The other thing I want you to notice is that, and you already have already seen this, that every one of those has a biblical reference to it. From service to Eucharist, liturgy, worship, Lord's Supper, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Romans 12, 1 Peter 2, 5, all of these things are biblically based. And what you're going to see and the difference that you'll notice in this book compared to how we're going to understand it is that everything has a biblical reference. And you're going to see that. Now, when we get to the creed we're going to say in a few minutes, there's only a few of them there. A few references. That's the one thing, if you've looked at the CEC Catechism that we've studied many times here, is that every statement in our catechism has scripture references to it. And that's one of the differences that we have with the Roman Catholic Church. And to maybe oversimplify, because what you're going to see in here is that he'll give a teaching, and it'll be a good teaching, but his reference is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, from their perspective, that's just fine, because their authority is their catechism. And so he references the catechism. In the Charismatic Episcopal Church, our authority is Holy Scripture. Now, that doesn't mean the Catholics don't believe in Scripture and that he's not using Scripture. But what I'm saying is that their primary authority for their teaching is the catechism. Our primary authority for our teaching is Holy Scripture. And so what you'll see throughout the slides, through the rest of this liturgy and others to come, is that all of these scripture references on the right. Now, I'm glad you didn't say that, even though they were there, because, you know, we're going to say the part on the left in the scripture references, so you don't need to say that out loud. But they're all there for you to see that we're not making anything up, that everything comes from Scripture. And that is our foundation in the Charismatic Episcopal Church, that if we can't prove it in Holy Scripture, we can't teach it as the Word of God. Now, again, I'm not trying to put him down or anything like that. I'm saying we come from different perspectives. And so we're going to take that to this, but these teachings are still very good. So what you'll see is all of those scripture references as we go through the liturgy, and you might be surprised. Now, some of you may already know this, and others of you might be surprised, because another complaint that a lot of folks have out there is that liturgical churches like us don't read the Bible. We don't have Scripture, you know. Well, not true. And you can see that through all of this. So that's the series. And that was far longer than our 60 seconds that I'm going to try to do this in. But that gives you an understanding of where we're coming from and why we're doing what we're doing. And as we look at all of these things over the next few weeks, again, we're going to take them to the Acts of the Apostles, because what we're doing in our worship and in our liturgy is what the apostles did in that first century church. Now, by and large, we're doing the same worship, the same liturgy. Now, of course, there are differences, you know. I mean, they didn't have electricity and they didn't have their sermons online. And, you know, one thing they did do, I guarantee you, they took up a collection. So there's always something that's the same. But there, we know from the resources in the first century and the words we'll hear at the altar today and the way that we present this visit that we make to the Last Supper every Sunday when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," just like he did on Maundy Thursday. This is exactly what they were doing. And what we saw in the Acts of the Apostles today, this is a great segue. What we saw in the Acts of the Apostles today is that Jesus sat, and his proof of life, if you will, was that he broke bread with the disciples. He was resurrected bodily, physically. He actually ate and drank with them and sat with them. And they looked at him and they said, "He's here. We know he died, but he's here. He's eating fish. He's sitting with us and physically eating. He's not a spirit. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's actually, physically, literally here. And that's what the apostles experienced. And that's what we do on Sunday. We experience Jesus who is literally, physically here in the body and blood and the bread and the wine that we'll receive in a few moments. It's fantastic stuff. Yeah, you got to get excited about this, right? So tell your friends, you know. Tell your friends. We got this great thing going on. You know, the beautiful thing about the internet is if you invite somebody to church and they're not sure, have them listen online. 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting in the dark in their living room, when they're sure that nobody's going to catch them and that nobody's actually, you know, going to sneak up on them and find out that they're listening to a church service. People can experience what we experience here in person. But you know what? It's never the same. It's never the same as when you're doing it live, right? So tell your friends, get them here. Great thing going on as we look at our worship and as we embrace literally, physically, and of course, with all truth and spirit, the living Christ. Father God, I thank you for bringing us here today. I thank you for the simple message as we start this series. Father, help us to understand what we do, to have a deeper and growing knowledge of our worship. Help us to be able to find ways to present that to others that may not understand what we do inside these walls. Father, help us to be the mass, people that worship you and are sent forth to proclaim the message of the gospel. Help us in our bounden duty and service as we offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to you. Father, as we partake with utmost and greatest thanks the Eucharist that you provided for us, help us to internalize you in body, mind, and spirit the way we will do that bread and wine. That your presence in our very beings will be a blessing, and that we will go forth from this place to glorify your name. All this we ask in the holy and in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.